Everybody. It's hard to top Smuckers, but that's been a great day already. And well, thank God, it looks like he's helping out with the rain too. It looks like it's holding off for us until later this afternoon. So we're very thankful for that. Yeah, we've been looking at that. We're going to be talking on this Friend Sunday about friends and the benefits of friends. And I'm going to talk about the five benefits of friendship. Can you turn to your neighbor and say the five benefits of friendship? You know, all of us love to have good friends. There were these two friends that were out here in the Smoky Mountains, and they were walking on a hike in the woods. And suddenly they noticed that a black bear was behind them and was chasing them. And so, of course, the two friends began to run. When suddenly one friend stopped to put on some tennis shoes, and his other friend said, "We don't have time for you to stop and put on tennis shoes. That bear's coming, and you can't outrun that bear." He said, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I have to outrun you." Think about it. You'll get it later. All right. But anyway, those are not the kind of friends you need, right? With friends like that, who needs enemies? But we're going to talk about true friends this morning and the five benefits of friendship. There's a comedy that's arguably the number one television show of all time. And I was asking my son Noah if I could even use this as an illustration, because it's really been off the air for a long time. And it's the show, of course, called Friends. But my son Noah said, "No. All my friends are still watching Friends on you know, reruns and sitcom on these channels or whatever." And I really don't know anything about the show other than it's like the number one show of all time, some people say. But the reason that people say it's the number one show of all time is that it's based on normal day-to-day life experiences that we all experience. It's every sphere of life is covered in it. Friends focuses that you don't need a lot of money to be happy. Everyone relates with all the characters. Either they see themselves in one of the characters or their friends. No one stands out or is perfect among the characters in Friends. Everyone in Friends has some bad qualities or irritating qualities. And so there's something about it that people are relating to that makes it such a popular show. In the era before that era was my era, and the show was called Cheers. That was the show about Friends. And if you remember the chorus of the introduction to Cheers, it said, "Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name." That was the description of Cheers, the bar Cheers in Boston in that show. But I would say it's a better description of the church. That the church should be a place where I can find people that know my name. They're always glad that I came. And our troubles are all the same. Several years ago, there was an interesting study made about friendships in the church, and the study said that people who are churched are more satisfied with their lives than non-believers. But in the study, and this kind of disappointed me as a pastor, it wasn't the fact that it was prayer or hearing the great preaching that made them happier. The thing that made people happier who were churched is that they had those who had 10 or more close friends in the church were more satisfied and more happy than people who were unchurched. And it was also noted that even secular people who had friends, church friends, were more happy than people who had secular friends. And these scientists that were studying this were scratching their heads, and the only thing they could come up with was maybe it was because of volunteerism and the propensity toward charity that made them happier. But for whatever reason, people talk about their lives being more satisfied who make friends at church. So I'm suggesting that church can be even be better than Cheers, right? Amen. And life church church is also made up of a cast of ordinary characters trying to get through life together. I don't have time to tell you about all the characters in this church. But if you were here for a while, you might meet Joel and Bethany Aguirre, who moved in from Texas and have three lovely children and have found community and friendship in this church. You might meet empty nesters Wes and Nancy Kernut, who are lifetime Knoxvillians, who've come to the church for almost 3 years and love to serve and make new friends in this place. You might meet Juanita, who is a grandmother but also a mother to so many of us in the church and provides smiles and hospitality when you walk in the lobby. One of the first people you see is Juanita, and it always makes you smile when you do. You might meet Peter Rebaca and his wife Natalie, who moved in from New York. Peter's recently retired, and they're making lots of new friends in the church. Or you might meet a Susan Dalton, a young single who teaches at Gresham and is a vital part of our technical team, but more importantly, she's a friend to many. You might meet Darren and Margie Fink, who have four adopted children and have a ministry to adopted parents called Transfiguring Adoption. This is a place where friends are meeting. One of the ways that we describe the logo for our church is an orange leaf, and we chose an orange leaf. We have a tree, the tree of life, and we have 11 leaves on it, or 12 leaves on it. 11 of them are blue, but one of them is orange. And the reason we have 11 blue ones is because blue is people's favorite color. Blue is beautiful. Everyone likes blue, so we wanted a blue tree. But you know what the least favorite color, at least outside of Tennessee, is? It's orange. Now, in Tennessee, it's probably a favorite color, but outside of Tennessee, orange is people's least favorite color. And so we wanted to put an orange leaf on that blue tree because we wanted to say, all of us in some way feel orange. There's some way or another when all of us feel like maybe we don't fit in. Maybe I'm a little bit different than everybody else. And we wanted to say on not only the Tree of Life, but in Life Church, that you are welcome here. And you are there are no heroes here, there are no big people here and all of that. Every one of us are beautiful and have our faults, and just like that made the show Friends popular, you would see that in this church. There's no big people and little people, but all of us are trying to get through life together and making friends. I chose for my text this morning Ecclesiastes, which is one of what's called the wisdom, part of the wisdom literature in the Bible. And so this is a wise sayings about friendship that I want to share with you. And God really outlines five benefits of friends. And I just wanted to say, friends with benefits is not what you think. There's a phrase in our culture, friends with benefits, and I want to say, I was really glad, Taylor, when you talked about our sanity. There's a world that's really gone insane, and when you come to church and we learn and we center our lives on Christ, there's a new sanity that happens, and it keeps us from going insane. The world has an idea of what friends are, and their idea of what friends are, this whole friends with benefits, is a way to abuse each other and use each other for your own gratification. But the benefits that God outlines with friendship are very different. And I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, and then we're going to just kind of take it apart, and I won't preach very long, and all God's people said amen, yeah. All right. I knew I could get an amen for that one. It's not going to preach very long. Two are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close to each other can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There's a place in Orlando called Epcot. Anyone ever heard of it or been there? Raise your hand. You know what Epcot? Anyone know what Epcot stands for? I did not know this. Epcot stands for the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. The Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. Disney was purporting itself to be the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. But guess what? Disney is really not the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. The church is. The church is the true Epcot Center, the experimental prototype community of tomorrow. This is what community ought to look like. This is what true friendship ought to look like. The church should be a place where we empower strong marriages. I mean, marriage is the greatest thing I know, but we need models around us to demonstrate what it means to be in a healthy, God-loving kind of a marriage. You know, if my wife ever leaves me, I'm going with her. Got that, Melanie? You remember the story of the boy who was trying to find the right girl to marry? He found one, brought her home, and mom just didn't like her. So he found another girl, brought her home, and mom didn't like her either. And finally he brought a girl home that was just like mom, and then dad didn't like her. That's not what we want. In the church, we want models around us, people who are helping us, you know, and when we have fallen, when we have failed, when we've, you know, that can help us get back up. So let's kind of pull that little scripture apart. Two are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If you're taking notes, and there's a place in your bulletin for you to take notes and fill in blanks, the first one is friends help each other succeed. Friends help each other succeed. There's an old Zambian proverb that says, when you run alone, you run fast, but when you run together, you run far. When you run alone, you run fast, but when you run together, you run far. Believe it or not, I actually ran a marathon one time. I was in the heavyweight division. But I could not have run that marathon by myself. In fact, when I began training for that marathon, I couldn't run 3 miles. But I had a friend. And that friend got me up early in the morning, and that friend encouraged me, and that friend ran with me. Till we ran 5 miles, and then 7 miles, and then 10 miles, and then finally we went to the Marine Corps Marathon, and he and I together, not in record time, but I made it under 6 hours, 5 hours and 50 minutes, we ran the Marine Corps Marathon. The church has friends that will help you run further. They'll help you run further in your life, help you run further in your business, help you run further in your family, help you run further into your future. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Amen. The second part of that scripture said, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. And this is the next thing. Friends help us when we fall. All right, I just got a confession to make. The scripture didn't say, if you fall. It helps us when we fall. I came to tell you that you are in a room. If you came looking for a place of perfection, you're in the wrong building. Because I know some of these characters and I know myself. All of us have fallen. And if anyone pretends they haven't fallen, all they have to do is read the scripture, right? That says, all of us have sinned and what? Fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a one of us that hasn't fallen. The church is full of people who have run and who have at one time or another fallen. God doesn't expect that we will live a life without falling, but the church is a place where you can get back up. The church is a place to find friends that will help you to get back up. Friends that won't kick you when you're down, but will come alongside of you and they will help you to get back up. The scripture says, don't gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will arise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. The next part of the scripture is probably the hardest one to deal with. It says, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? Now, before there was heating and air conditioning, all we had was body heat. So back in ancient times, I'm sure one of the ways to keep warm was to stay close to each other. and you provided warmth. So you'd get in the confined spaces and get close to each other, and that would produce warmth so that you could be warm. Thank God we have heating and air conditioning now, right? We don't have to do it that way, unless you're so close to someone like your spouse. But I've got a funny story regarding that. I may be the cheapest person you know. I'm always trying to save a buck. So Chris Oakes and I were going to a conference a couple weeks ago, and I'm always trying to save money on hotels and whatever we do. So I got on, anyone ever used Hotwire before? Hotwire.com. So the way Hotwire works is you get on there and you can find these hotels really cheap. And if it's 2.5 stars or above, it's okay. 2.5 stars is good because they usually have free breakfast. And so we got a 2.5 star hotel, really cheap, less than $50 a night when we were staying there. And so I'm all excited. I'm all proud of the choice. And Chris and I pull up to the hotel and we get there to check in. And the lady says, yes, you're up in the room and you have one king size bed. The space between Chris and I, the children of Israel, could have walked through like the Red Sea going to the Promised Land that night. Because thank God we have heating and air conditioner. And he said, you will never choose the hotel ever again. But on a serious note, friends provide warmth when we come in from a cold world. I think the principle to extract from this is that friendships provide warmth. I mentioned Juanita when are you here, Juanita? Yeah, right there, Juanita. One of the things that I love about walking in the first thing in the morning is I'm struck with Juanita's warmth. She's got a warm smile, a warm handshake, or a warm hug. How many know that life can be cold? You can go to work and everything can be, you know, hard charging and not caring about one another and all of that kind of stuff. But when you come to the house of the Lord, this ought to be the warmest place. This ought to be the warmest place on the planet. A place to come in from the coldness of life that we can find friends that we can share warmth with, that we can share a hug, that we can share a warm smile. When you come to church, we play this game at home. We call it the warm fuzzies. The warm fuzzies, we'll do it sometimes on people's birthday or whatever, but we'll sit them in the middle of a circle and we'll all get in a circle around them. And if it's Noah's birthday, everyone has to say something nice about Noah, and it can't be a backhanded compliment. It's got to be a sincere compliment. And when we do that, we call it the warm fuzzies, because when that happens, you feel warm and fuzzy inside. That's what ought to be what happens when you come to church. And that's one of the purpose of friendships, that we feel warm. The next part of the scripture said, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Taylor, can you help me out for a second? If I'm fighting in a battle alone, there's a problem. I got all you guys, but there's people back here, right? But the scripture said that Taylor and I can fight back to back, and you get them that way, and I'll get them this way, right? And the point of this passage, thank you, Taylor, is that a friend has your back. We all need friends that will have our back, that will cover our blind spot when there's people that are trying to get us, you know, when maybe someone's talking about you behind your back. That friend stands up and says, no, that's my friend. You can't do that. That's my friend. I have another job. I work over in the Smokies, and I was running late the other day, and I'm in a sales job, and the way it works is if you're late, they don't let you see any guests that day. You just have to sit there and suck your thumb in a corner, you know, while everyone else gets guests and makes money, you know, and you got to repent of your sins. And so, but I was running late that morning, and I was just, well, confession's good for the soul. I was probably breaking a few speeding laws going down the interstate, and I was trying to make it on time, and I was running really close. And, they start the opening meeting right on time. I pulled into the parking lot. I had like 30 seconds to run upstairs, but one of my friends saw me coming, and he saw that I might be late, so he pulled the boss aside to show him pictures of his new house. He had my back. And I got in there, and huffing and puffing, and I made it on time, and later he said, I had your back, Phil. Pulled the boss aside, showed him these pictures of my house, and I was going to be on time anyway by the second, but a good friend has your back. And then it ends by saying, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come, three are even better for a triple, two are better than one, but three are even better for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. The last thing I want to say is that we are stronger together. We are stronger together. Challenges seem less challenging when you are with or even when you're just thinking about a friend. There was a psychological study done, and in this research, participants stood in front of a hill, either alone or with a friend, and then they estimated the steepness of a hill. When someone was alone, the hill seemed steeper than when they were with a friend. When they were with a friend, their perception of the hill was that the hill wasn't as steep. Because together, we're stronger than we are by ourselves. Hey, I just want to confess this morning, I need you. And we need each other. And together, we're stronger than we could be by ourselves. Now, normally we don't sing secular songs in church, but I couldn't think of any better way to end this whole time. Lean on me when you're not strong. Let's stand up. I'll be your friend. Hey, I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long. You're gonna need somebody to lean.